The Ministry of Risen Motherhood is funded by our generous donors. If you like this podcast, please consider joining them at risenmotherhood.com/give.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily, here with my sister-in-law, Laura.
Hey, guys.
And this is fun because if you are listening to this in your car or while you're doing dishes or while you're on a walk, you should know we're in front of a live audience right now.
Yeah. This is not Emily's closet.
I know. It's really great. And so it's fun because we're actually recording live at my home church, Grand Avenue Baptist. And it's actually a church that Laura grew up mm-hmm. in. And so we just have deep roots here. Mm-hmm. We have pastors and older women and peers who have just shaped us over the years in this place. And so it's a joy to be here.
Yeah, this church is a gift.
Yeah.
Okay, so I see some mugs someone put up here. These are great. So you guys can purchase these if you're live in person out in the back. Yeah. But for our listeners online, we've had a lot of questions about a shop. Yeah. There is a motherhood shop because a lot of our stuff sells out really fast. We do it once a year. So next fall, be looking for the shop. We've been getting a lot of questions lately, as I mentioned. And so watch social media. Mm-hmm. That's where we'll post updates on that. And yeah, hopefully
Laura,
it'll be around
Christmas. I want my free shirt.
Emily's obsessed with swag, you guys. Like, she is so obsessed with it. She'll just box me, where's my stuff? It's coming.
I always want to know when I'm going to get my Risen Mother t-shirt.
So I'm like, it will come.
But I have bigger questions tonight, Laura.
We have a way bigger question.
This is a huge question. Yeah. This is a question that I feel like every mom asks, and it's one that keeps us up at night. It can make us toss and turn. Yeah. It can put that pit in our stomach. How do I know if I'm a good mom?
This is the mother of all motherhood questions.
And I think that some of us ask this in different ways. Like, I know one way a lot of women ask it is, how do I know if I am enough?
Yeah.
If I am meeting my children's needs, how do I know when I can say that I've done a good enough job as a mom?
Yeah, or maybe you'll see that other sweet, cool mom and you're like, oh man, am I as good as her? Like, am I doing as good of a job as her because she's good? And so we ask that question of, well, how do I know if I'm like her?
Yeah, I think one way I was considering as I ask myself this question is I think about it as like a spectrum of needs. And so at the beginning of the day, I can kind of start to tally like, okay, I've fed them all the meals I'm supposed to feed them. I got them where they're supposed to go. They made it to school, they're clothed, they got hugs. Hopefully I've been mostly loving to them. And you get to the end of the day and you're like, okay, like I did pretty well. I met all their needs. But then I realize that there's this whole laundry list of things that I did not get done that I feel pressure to do. And the thing that always reminds me of that is the calendar that comes home from school. You know, you're supposed to color every night that
you're
read
to read
with
for
them
20 for 20 minutes. Our kids go to the same school, so I know this chart she's talking
so
about.
So, like, no matter how good of a day, it's like the chart is still empty.
Yeah.
And that's just a representation.
Fail.
Yeah, of the fact that, like, and they also didn't play outside long enough, and there's just all these other things that I never did, and that list is kind of infinite, so no matter how many needs
I meet,
I did not meet enough needs.
Yes, and I know you'll relate to this part, because I feel like as even if on my very, very best days, I actually get that done, like I read for the 20 minutes, and I can color the apple or whatever it is, I know that
it's for one free slice of pizza.
My son is very motivated by that pizza. Those personal pans at Pizza Hut.
Is it a whole? Never mind. I'm almost like, it's just
we'll talk about this after.
Okay.
But I think that no matter if I can do all of those physical, tangible things for my kids, there's still like that Christian moral standard, right?
Yeah.
Where like, well, was I kind and was I patient and was I, you know, like tender and merciful towards my children and much more than once that day, I can look back and find a time and say, nope, definitely wasn't. And so I may even meet the outside physical measure of being a good mom, very rarely, but it may happen. But then I can't do that inside standard that I will always fail.
Yeah. And I think one thing we wanted to get at here as we were discussing some of the things that we struggle with is that reality that the definition of a good mom is elusive. So if we're even going to answer this question, we have to be able to answer what is a good mom. Yeah. And that's going to change for everyone. And we wanted to just kind of walk through, like, what are some things that our culture says or that we believe makes a good mom?
Well, I was doing a little bit of research because I love research. And in a 2017 Time magazine article, the front cover was this mother. Mm-hmm. And it was talking about, the title was The Goddess Myth. And inside, all it talked about was how every mom, especially when she first becomes a mom, is building this goddess mom, right? This perfect mom or this good mom, like we're talking about tonight. And she builds it through, doctor's advice and influencer's advice and maybe her mother and maybe, you know, somebody who she really respects as a friend. And even culture has recognized, like in this article, it was talking about how moms were feeling guilt and failure because they couldn't meet whatever the standard was. And it was arbitrary. It was different between each and every mom. Mm-hmm. But like even culture recognizes that like no one can meet this standard. It's right. A myth.
Right. And it's just interesting how we put this together in our minds as we were considering, because it's totally natural and normal that we would look around at our own mom or our mother-in-law or our favorite aunt or our friend who we feel like does it really well and piece together this image of, okay, this is what a good mom must do because this is what all the moms around me that I respect do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or even if you don't make it from a woman you know, maybe you say, well, I want to provide my kids just a better life than I had. Like, that's my standard. If it can be better, then that's a good mom. Or maybe it's one of those things where, well, as long as you have good intentions, this is a common one where, well, my intentions were good. And so that means, like, I'm a good mom because I'm trying.
Right. To go along with that, I think one we hear in Christian culture a lot is just, try really hard to be really good, and when you fail, just give yourself grace. And there's kind of this sense of, Jesus, you know, try and then give yourself a lot of
super grace.
Yeah, super grace, like feel good, warm fuzzies when you fall short. And the reality is, for a lot of us, that these images even change daily. Mm-hmm. Like, we're so fickle. Mm-hmm. It's like one day it's this specific thing. Oh, we forgot one.
Which one?
The methodology one.
Oh, fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank. So this would be like, hey, if I am a good mom, if, and then you can just fill that in with
whatever category. Baby
you
wise.
Want. Yes.
Organic food.
Yes.
Junk food.
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah.
And junk food. Oh, is that a method?
I mean, probably. I don't know.
I'm a good mom. I'm a good mom.
Okay.
I'm a good mom.
All right. Okay. Let's get back on track.
Okay. Go listen to our food episode if you want
Okay.
More on that.
So what we wanted to get down to is just that research is clear that this impacts all of us. And this reality that we're not measuring up to whatever standard it is leads to all kinds of really hard feelings and emotions and guilt and shame in our lives.
Yeah, we were a little more research for you. But there is a 1 in 9, mental illness affects 1 in 9 mothers. Mm-hmm. Depression in young expectant mothers, it's 51% more common today than it was 25 years ago. And in that Time article, they actually did a survey to kind of beef up this article. And 70% of the participants said they felt pressure to mother in specific ways. And that over 50% felt guilt and shame when things didn't go according to plan.
Mm-hmm. So we wanted to ask this question tonight, but whatever time of the day it is that you're listening, we wanted to ask this question because we really think that there is an answer and there's actually even a better question and there's hope. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to jump in just a layer deeper and just ask, why are we so concerned with knowing whether or not we are a good mom?
Yeah. And we want to walk through actually a very ancient story, but one that has so many truths for us today. And we can see in the very first pages of the Bible when God created the heavens and the earth, and he created man and woman, and the woman was able to bear life, sustain life, like she was made to be a woman. And in Genesis 1:31, it says that God saw everything he had made, and he declared it very good. And that means man, woman, the possibility for Eve to be a mother, like all of that was declared very good. Actually, the question of, am I a good mom was kind of settled. Like, am I good? Like in that moment, God declared that to be true.
And the hard thing is that it did not stay that way. And so we know that Adam and Eve actually had one thing that God told them not to do in the garden, and that was eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam and Eve were tempted by this, thinking, maybe there's something more that God hasn't given to me. And they wondered if there was good, still additional good to be had. And so they broke that commandment and they ate from that tree, and then sin and brokenness entered the world. And it kind of severed that reality of God's very good creation that he had pronounced over them. And it's interesting because their response was to go and hide from God in shame and to actually try to cover themselves and kind of be away from him, which is really similar to the kind of response that we have today when we realize that, ooh, I'm not sure I want to stand in God's presence because I don't feel very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because of sin, we actually can't be the kind of mom that God designed us to be. We can't be the kind of woman that God designed us to be. And that's because of a variety of things, but there's kind of this outside, this thing's outside of our control, and this would be broken relationships with your husband or your children or in-laws. It can be death or disability or just things outside of your control that feel like they're just constantly working against us, right? And then there are also these things that are actually in our control. They're in our hearts, and it's the way that we respond to these outside circumstances. And they're riddled with sin, too. Mm-hmm. So this is when we're not patient with our family. We are not long-suffering with our children. We don't show mercy. We don't offer grace. We even things like we're unorganized. We're forgetful. we're kind of fickle and hot, cold, and out. And, you know, we're non-committal about things. And all of this tends to push against us. It pushes against the design that God originally had for all of us.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about this, ooh, am I a good mom question, and thinking about this image of a mirror in a fun house. I don't know if you guys have ever stood in front of one of those.
Well, maybe it's even like one of those cheapo like mirrors, you know, that we all have kind of hanging up in our closet. You can target for like $10.
You don't want
to distort it. Like, oh, I look really skinny right now. So I like that mirror.
Yeah, so those are good.
Those are good mirrors.
Not the mirror we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
So the fun house mirror, and no matter like what way you shapeshift, like something just gets like knocked out of shape and looks really distorted and ugly. And so yes, like you can see this kind of image of your reflection. So it's not that, oh, I can't see myself as a woman, but you're trying to make something look good that's just not. It's always going to be ugly and distorted, no matter how you try to shape your body.
Yeah, and so and that really is a good picture of how, we can't measure up to God's good standard of who we should be. And I think at some level, all of us as humans, like, we feel this, whether or not we acknowledge the fact that there is a true purpose for us and a true design for us, like, we can feel dissension. There's like a someplace deep in our bones and in our souls that we know, like, there is something bigger. I mean, Romans 1:20 says that for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So God's presence has been made known to all since the creation of the world.
So we want to take this kind of reality that we do have this question and we have this longing inside of us that we want to know we are good. Not just that we're a good mom, we want to know we're good. So what is the hope for that? Hope is actually a person, and is Jesus, and this is God's son who came to earth as a man, and he actually lived a perfect life. He did everything right all the time. He was without sin, so he wasn't just a good man, he was a perfect man, and he did all of that on our behalf.
Yeah, and Jesus knew that we weren't perfect, but yet he came anyway to save us. And he said, I'm going to take my perfect record and I'm going to give it to them. And he went all the way to the cross and he died and rose again in 3 days. And now if we believe that, if we believe it in our hearts and we confess it with our mouth, then in God's eyes, we actually get that perfect record of Jesus. And so we can't meet the standard, and we never have been able to, we never will be able to. So Jesus did that on our behalf. He went into the courtroom of God and he said, I give them my record so now they can meet the standard.
And what's really encouraging for us is that if we believe that and that is true about us, we actually get help to grow and to change in motherhood. And we don't have to focus so much on, I don't really know if I'm measuring up or not, because we can say, yes, in Christ we have measured up, and actually I have the helper, I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me that's going to help me walk through this life.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. we still live with the effects of sin, right? Mm-hmm. Even if you're in Christ, you still feel this tension yeah. and you still mess up and you still realize like, oh man, this world is not perfect. And but that's where, yeah, we have the help of the Holy Spirit. And then when we fail, we can know like my good mom status or my status as really a daughter of the King isn't in question. And God's mm-hmm. not going to ask me to jump through some hoop or to do something really special to kind of earn my status back or like perform mm-hmm. in some way as a mom. That's secure and it lasts. Mm-hmm. And so now we can just strive to grow and to change, not to become a better mom, but to mm-hmm. become more like Christ.
And so the question that we want to fixate on is not how do I know if I'm a good mom, but it's really, do I know and love the one who makes me good? Mm-hmm. Because that is really who we need to have a relationship with and know. And like Laura said, it's really not about motherhood. It's about us as whole women mm-hmm. being back before the throne of God, being seen as holy and fully good in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we can kind of go back mm-hmm. to that fun house mirror or my IKEA mirror or whatever. And, you know, you think about that, and actually mm-hmm. what has happened is Christ has taken that mirror, that distorted mirror away that we're trying to kind of look into and figure out what good motherhood is, and he's actually replaced it with just this perfect image of who he is. Mm-hmm. And now when we are looking into that mirror, we're saying, okay, I see that like my righteousness, my eternity is secure in him. And now I can strive and follow after Christ, not after mm-hmm. this distorted version of motherhood. Like ultimately mm-hmm. our goal is to be transformed day by day into Christ-likeness.
Yeah, and kind of like what we were saying before, when we fixate on Christ and mm-hmm. we're looking into this mirror and what we see is him, and he becomes our focus, it actually frees us up to do good to others. So I just like to imagine, you know, what type of mental space frees in your heart and in your day when you're not constantly trying to judge how you're measuring mm-hmm. up to whatever image you've decided on that very day should be good mom status. I think it just frees us up to pay attention to our children, mm-hmm. to grow and to love others and to have joy and to have peace in circumstances where things don't go exactly our way. So there's just all these incredible fruits and incredible joys that come out of having that question settled.
Yeah, I love that. I think there's so much fruit that mm-hmm. can happen. I mean, I think about now the mm-hmm. next time, if my identity is secure in Christ mm-hmm. and I know that I'm saved in him, then when I see that really sweet mom doing some sweet stuff, I can say, you know what? It's okay. Like mm-hmm. I'm content with who Christ has made me, and I don't have to feel those feelings of jealousy or frustration mm-hmm. or just like that not enoughness. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even just, I feel like I can be a better steward yeah. of the gifts that the Lord has mm-hmm. given me because I'm not pouring them out into this mm-hmm. effort to be this rock star mom. I'm pouring them out to like make good for the kingdom.
Yeah, if we're looking into this, no analogy is perfect. I know
she loves analogies.
But I have to give that caveat.
She's like, they always
break down. I
also love
caveats.
Every single one.
Okay, but like theoretically, we're looking into this, and what we're looking at is Christ, and that's who we're focused on and mm-hmm. fixated on. I think our lives can also get wrapped up in him. And it's just this kind of self-forgetfulness yeah. when we're not always staring at our own reflection. I think something I've been thinking about lately is the more I stare at my own motherhood and like try to fix it, I just can't. It's like you just get more and more entangled. But fixing our eyes on Christ and just this redeemed, like new person that we are flows out into every role and relationship that we have. Mm-hmm. And that's just really neat. The other day I said to Laura, I was like kind of processing through these things, like redemption is not this isolated incident. It impacts mm-hmm. everything else in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, so if you're struggling with this question, because mm-hmm. we know that this is kind of a hard concept, or mm-hmm. it might feel like, okay, I get the concept, but what's next? Mm-hmm. So the first thing to really ask yourself is to say, is Jesus my King? And for many of you in here, you might be able to say, like, yeah, I remember a time that I asked Jesus into my heart and all of that. But this is a great chance to constantly re-ask mm-hmm. yourself, is Jesus my King today? Is he my King right now? Like, who is on the throne? And I know for me, a lot of times it's just me up there. And so just re-asking yourself that question mm-hmm. is always a really good place to start. Mm-hmm.
And like Laura was saying, I think because these are such big concepts and because this is something that we will continue to struggle with throughout our lives. So,
and this is a 20-minute show.
And this is a 20-minute show. Like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to do something that isn't consistent with how Jesus would respond to others. And so it's going to be this lifelong battle and this area where we continually need to grow and change. We have to have other people around us. And we can't really, we weren't meant to do this alone. And so it's really important to get kind of plugged in with a community of believers who can come alongside you and help keep your eyes focused on Christ.
And of course, studying your Bible, like understanding this for yourself and having that firsthand knowledge of God always will grow your love and your understanding of how this is played out. And of course, prayer, you know, even just a simple prayer of help me, Lord, or I want to understand. God promises that he will answer us, that he will be near to us, and that he hears us when we pray.
A thing that we say a lot, too, if you've listened to the show for a while, you'll recognize this term, is just preaching the gospel to yourself, which is effectively what we did this evening. It's just remembering all those truths. And, you know, Laura and I have repeated through this, like, so many times. I don't know how many episodes we've recorded now. And guess what? I still need to repeat through it every single week and sometimes every single day. And so if you're struggling, always just go back to that remembering what is the truth.
Yeah, it's just retelling the story that we just told you. And then lastly is just to see the long game. We keep talking about, hey, you're not going to change overnight. You're not going to change overnight. And I think that we have to remember that God works in a timeline that is much, much different than ours. And if we were to like snap overnight, I know at least I would learn nothing.
Yeah.
I would be like rock star. And so I just thankfully God works through hard things and he works slowly over time. And that's something where just to trust that long game of the Lord, that he is growing you day by day more into Christ-likeness.
Yeah, and one interesting fact there is just like sometimes we think, okay, I've got this, I have the truths, and now I'm ready for my circumstances to be really different. And just to prepare ourselves that we may wake up and nothing around us has changed, but that is the very place that God wants to use us to transform us more into Christ-likeness is even in the midst of hard things.
Yeah. So we hope you can kind of take a nugget from this and just remember that the next time in your head you're saying, oh man, am I a good mom? Like, am I good enough for my kids? You can remember instead to ask yourself, actually, do I know and love the one who makes me good? And that even that sentence in itself is just actually preaching the gospel to yourself.
Yeah, it's like refixing your eyes on the only one who can make you good.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. You can find our show notes and other information at risenmotherhood.com, and you can follow us on social media at Risen Motherhood, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Thanks to our live audience.
Thanks, guys.
And thanks to our listeners.